Today's shiur is Masechti Ksubas Daf Tes. We will begin on the last words on Daf Chesam Abayis Omer Belazer. A word of introduction. As we've mentioned many times, in the time of Chazal, Erusin and Nisuin, which are the two parts of affecting a Jewish marriage, were actually done at two different times. First we had the Erusin, and typically the Nisuin could take up to a year till they had the Nisuin. As soon as the woman becomes an Arusa, as far as the halacha is concerned, she's an Eishes Ish. And if she has an adulterous relation, then she's Chayiv Misa. If the husband and wife want to separate, then they have to have a get. Or the husband passing away is the when she's no longer an Eishes Ish. A woman who gets married as a psula, there were two ways of determining that a woman was indeed a psula. One is through the dam, the blood that comes out when the psulim are broken. And the other one is pasach nol, that there's difficulty in doing the bia because this woman never experienced bia before. The halacha is, as we've learned and will learn, a very important part of our masechta, is that when a woman gets married, when she claims she is a psula, the halacha is that her ksuba is masayim. If a woman gets married as almana and not as a psula, then her ksuba is a mona. Begins the Gemara Amar Belazar, Harim Pesa Psula Pantosi. A man marries a woman and he says that I assumed she was a psula, but actually, I determined that she's Pesach Pesuach. The difficulty I identified a moment ago that takes place when there's a bia with a woman who's a besula wasn't there. The loch is nemer la'asar lov. What he said, we believe what he says. And when we believe what he says, he has to divorce her. And as we're going to discuss in a moment, that even though there are no edim, so we don't have any independent knowledge through Adam that she had such a relationship, that she had an improper relationship while she was in Arusa. The halacha is that she's still asa to him. And the reason she's asa to him is because Shavya Anafsha Chaticha de Surah. He said she's asa to him. And once he said it, she becomes asa. There's a machlokes rishonim. Who is the woman that we're speaking about here? Is it strictly a woman who's a Nara, a younger woman? And there, it's expected that it would be Pesach Nol. And therefore, when the husband says that Pesach Pesuach, he's trusted because why is there a Pesach Pesuach when she's still a Nara? However, if she has an explanation, the explanation that we just gave is that she's a Begeris. So the Psulim sometimes weaken, even though she never had a relationship. Or another Rashi explains, we're going to be discussing Mishpachas Durkati. Mishpachas Durkati are families that don't have dam, and therefore they don't have psulim. So the lack of dam can be attributed to them. Or if it's a husband that we could assume, and we'll speak about such individuals, that who has no way of knowing exactly if it's a Pesach Pesuach or Pesach Nol, all these cases, he won't be Neman, because there's always a reason why it should be not believed because of lack of experience, etc. What's going to be the halacha if there was dam? So as we said earlier, that if there was dam, it's clearly an indication that she had psulim. But he still says it was Pesach Pesuach. What would be the halacha? Many Rishonim are of the opinion, the fact that there was dam is the greatest indication that she is a besula. However, there are other Rishonim who take the approach that even if there was dam, if he claims that Pesach Pesuach, we will have to believe him. What do we say about this dam? Isn't the dam clearly an indication that she's a besula? He could say that the issue here was that there was the dam, but the dam came from a makkah. And since the dam came from a makkah, that's what caused that there should be dam, and that's why he may be believed even when there is dam. The Gemara says, as we're going to discuss, even though, as we said, even though there are no edim supporting the husband's claim, he's believed because of Shavya Nafshecha Techa de Surah. However, as we're going to be learning the sugya, we're going to see that Rabbi Elazar's halacha is somewhat limited, because it's only one exception, is only if she's married to a kayin. Because a kayin may not live with a woman even if she was violated. But if she's a wife of Yisrael, we have a sex seika. Number one, we don't know if she did znus willingly. And even if she did the znus willingly, it could have happened before she was meresis. Tosfos says, if the woman gives a legitimate explanation why she's missing Basula, then we will believe her explanation. Furthermore, as we said at the beginning of our shir, in those days, the common custom was that there was a decent interval between the Erusin and the Nisuin. And therefore, as we said, as soon as the woman becomes an Erusin, she's an Eshesish, and if she did something and she had an illicit relationship during that period, she was an Eshesish. But Mizman HaZeh, where the Erusin and the Nisuin essentially took place at the same time, so even if she had an illicit relationship, the halacha still will be that we won't believe. The halacha will still be that she is, that she's mutter, because it's, she wasn't a married woman when she had that relationship. Another reason to be lenient. As I said before, the Rishonim are lenient if the girl is a begaris. The Rishonim are lenient if the girl said, if the girl is over 12 and a half years old. The Rishonim are lenient if the chassan is a bachur who has no experience. And because he has no experience, we could say that's why he didn't realize if it is Pesach Pesuch or Pesach Nol. Moreover, the Shev Yaakov says that, as we're going to explain in a moment, the entire reason why he's believed is because Shavya Nafshecha Techa de Surah. And since he's only believed because of Shavya Nafshecha Techa de Surah, if this person, when he says Pesach Pesuach, does not recognize the repercussions of saying so, so then again, we can be lenient because he didn't realize what the repercussions of what he's saying were. There's a very big machlokes, Rishonim and Achronim, why indeed the halacha is the Shavya Nafshecha Techa de Surah. Some Rishonim explain, the Mari Basin, it's a neder. Just like anybody has always the ability to say that I won't partake of something, I won't eat something, I won't benefit from something, here too, if I say this is also to me, it's like making a neder that it's also to me. The Tzais has a different approach, that we know that throughout halacha, when two edim, when two witnesses testify to something, the halacha, respects what they're saying. Here too, says the Tzais, that when somebody says something which affects him, then we say, Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Yisura, and since he said, since the halacha is Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Yisura, he has Namonis. The Truma Sakri says it's not a din in Namonis. It says it's a special halacha that a person knows the truth. And since he knows the truth, then the halacha is, that's why we accept it. So why would be the halacha if there are edim that contradict him? So then it would depend on which pshat. If we follow the pshat, that's a neder, the fact that there are edim that contradict him doesn't make a difference. If we say that there's a special halacha, that when a person is saying something that affects himself, he's always believed, also the halacha, we would still say Shavya Nafshecha Techa de Surah, even if there are edim that contradict him. But if we follow the approach of the Tzais that says Shavya Nafshecha Techa de Surah is considered like edim, but he is still not as strong as two edim, and therefore the halacha is we would not accept Shavya Nafshecha Techa de Surah. So now this halacha that we're now discussing about Shavya Nafshecha Techa de Surah is the reason why it's believed, will have very significant repercussions regarding will he also believe to say haksuba, that when he said the Pesach Pesuach Metzasi, and by saying Pesach Pesuach, he's trying to deprive her of haksuba, will Shavya Nafshe Chaticha have that ability to make her lose haksuba? And it really depends on what approach we follow in explaining Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura. If we say it's a nether, I can make a nether that will affect myself. I can't make a nether that will affect somebody else. If, however, we say that Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura is halacha in Namonis, that the Torah said, because of the various reasons that we gave, the Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura works, so then it's a Namonis. When we trust him, the halacha is that we trust him all the way. And even if it means depriving her of a ksuba. Another question. If we say that if the person said something and then he reversed himself, if he said something that was based on Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura and then he reversed himself, can he reverse himself or not? So if we'll say it's a din in Eidus, so the halacha is Kivin Shehigid, that once Edom testified to something, that becomes the fact, and they can't reverse themselves. And that would be there for Halacha, but Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura. But if we say Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura is a nether, so just like a person who makes a nether could come and say, well, had I known, I would have not made this nether, then presumably the same would be with Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura. Similarly, if we take the approach of the Trumas Hakri, that Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura means that he has an amonis because he knows the truth. So if he comes now and he says, the truth is not like I said, maybe he can reverse himself on the Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura. And there's an interesting Shaila that I saw that Cheshuki Chema discusses based on this concept that we're discussing now of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura. He speaks about a situation where a child was born, and the bris was supposed to be the eighth day is on Shabbos. The bris was supposed to be on Shabbos. And they take this baby to the moel, and the moel looks at the baby and he says he thinks that this baby is not well and should not be having a bris on Shabbos. So based on that, but the father is somewhat concerned. He says, I don't think there's anything wrong with my child. I don't see a reason why we shouldn't be able to have this bris on Shabbos. So he goes to another moel, and the second moel says, no, this baby is fine to have the bris on Shabbos. So now he has a conflict. One moel said he should have the bris, and one moel said that we can't do the bris. So because he has this conflict, he goes to a third moel. And the third moel as well says that this bris could take place on Shabbos. So now we have two moelim saying that the bris can take place on Shabbos, and one moel saying that the bris cannot take place on Shabbos. So the halacha in such a situation is, we could follow the roiv, and we're going to do the bris on Shabbos. But then there's another halacha, and that is that once you ask a specific individual to be a moel at the bris, you're not supposed to ask someone else to be the moel at that bris. So now the question is, yes, he had asked the first person to be the moel, but he had asked that first person to be the moel, but that person says, I won't do bris on Shabbos because I'm concerned that this baby is not able to have a bris. Now the moel says, well, if there were two other moelim who said that this baby is well enough to have a bris on Shabbos, I will accept what they said. But this person, by saying originally that this baby should not have the bris on Shabbos, created a situation, Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Besura. He said, doing this bris on Shabbos, we know that a bris that's not supposed to be done on Shabbos, if it's done on Shabbos, it represents Chil Shabbos. So by him saying now that I'm ready to do the bris on Shabbos, is this not a situation that it was already Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura? And once it was Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura, he can't reverse himself. So now it really goes back to the Shiloh that we just discussed. What is the reason for Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Surah. If we say the reason for Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Surah is because it's a nether, so as I said, if somebody makes a nether based on misrepresentation, on information that was incorrect, he could have that nether annulled. I don't even think you would have to go through the entire process of Hataras Nadarim. It's clear that the nether was incorrect. If we say that it's a special din in the Manus, so the question is this really considered Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Surah? When we say Namonis, is it Namonis on something that I myself experienced? That is the opinion of some Achroinim. Or is it Namonis under all circumstances? So it could well be that even if we say that Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Surah represents a Namonis, but maybe it's only in Namonis that I could say I experienced something and I have Namonis, the Torah gave me the ability, the Torah. But when it's not based on something that's in my control, on my action, there we don't say Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Surah. But our Gemara clearly began the shir that if a husband comes in and he says regarding his wife, Pesach Pesuach Matosi, Neman La'asrolov. But ask the Gemara, Vamai, why is this not a situation of a Svek Svekahu? Sofik Tachtov, Sofik Im Tachtov. There's a question, even if she was, did this, or maybe it was before she was in Arusa. And even if you say that she did have this relationship, Tachtov, while she was in Arusa, Sofik Ba'inus, Sofik Baratzen. There's a question if she did it willingly, and then she becomes indeed Asa to the husband, or maybe she didn't do it willingly, and then she doesn't become Asa to the husband. So here we learn a very important rule in Shas, that even when there's a situation of a suffix, but, and even if we say, as we know, that the halacha is suffix deraisa l'chumra, when we have a suffix, a sveka, we could be more lenient. And there are many reasons why the Rishonim explain we're lenient by svek sveka. Most Rishonim explain that it works because of, it works with the lomdis of roiv. When we have so many sveikas, statistically, the halacha tells us that she probably did nothing wrong happened. And therefore, we could be lenient. That's how we're going to explain the one svara. The other way of learning is really connected to a very fundamental shaila in Shas. And that is, as we said a moment ago, the halacha is safek deraisa l'chumra. But when we say Sofik Daraisa L'chumra, is that a din midaraisa or is that a din midrabbanan? If we say it's only midrabbanan, so the rabbanan were machmer by Sofik Daraisa when there's only one Sofik. But if there are two Sveikas, like we're explaining in our Gemara, Chazal, who said that by Daraisa we should be machmer, said when there's two Sveikas, we need not be machmer. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara going back, why when the husband comes in and says that Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, Nemel Asrolov, even if he's trusted, then what's wrong here? Answers the Gemara, Letzricha Be'eshes Koyin. We're referring here to a situation of an Eshes Koyin. And since she's an Eshes Koyin, so even if the Be'ila that happened was Be'oinus, it was against her will, the halacha is that she's also to her husband. So now we're down to only one suffix. That's the suffix. Was this beer before she was in Arusa or after she was in Arusa? And therefore, we have to be machmer. So again, of course, says the Chalkas Mechaikik, as we said earlier in our shir, this would only be a problem, this would only be a concern if there was a time between the Erusin and the Nisuin. But if the Erusin and the Nisuin happen one after the other, then we certainly could be lenient, even by an Eshes Koyin. One more very important point the Pnei Yeshua makes. He says, if it's an Eshes Koyin, the Gemara says that we would believe him, and he can't stay married to her. Ask the Pnei Yeshua, what happens if this Koyin passes away divorces or whatever, and now she wants to marry a kohen. Will she be allowed to marry a kohen or not? And really, the Pnei Yeshua and the Tshuva Mahava have an interesting discussion. The Pnei Yeshua takes it as a given that this kohen can't live with this woman. Any other kohen didn't say it wasn't shavi nafsha chaticha de surah regarding any other kohanim, and Pnei Yeshua says she would be allowed to live with another kohen. It's only this kohen who made a shavi nafsha chaticha de surah. The Tshuva Mahava, in principle, agrees with the Pnei Yeshua that any other kohen would be allowed to marry this woman. He says there's only one kohen who couldn't, and that's the Yavam. We just finished learning Masechta Yavamis. And as we learned the Masechta Yavamis, the husband takes over the marriage of his deceased brother. So if the brother couldn't remain married to her, because he said Pesach Pesuach, and he shavya nafshe chaticha desura, so says the Shaz Tshuva Tshuva Mahava that the marriage of the Yavam is halachically considered a continuation of the first marriage. So if the first marriage had it come to an end, he cannot take over the second marriage. V'bay seima beishis Yisrael. We're talking about an eishis Yisrael, and the case that this Gemara is teaching us, kigon de kibba ba'avua, kiddushi b'chus b'ashar shalom v'yom echad, that she was less than 3 years old when she became, when she received the Kedushin. So even if the Kedushin, even if the Bia had taken place after she was in Arusa, Pesula Chayzrin, the Gemara is going to teach us many times that a girl that's less than 3 years old, even if she has Bia, the Pesulim come back. So if now we see that she doesn't have Pesulim, so, and the Kedushin was from before she was 3 years old till after. So if the Basulim aren't there, when must they have then been penetrated? After her being 3 years old. But that point, she was in an Arusa. So we only have one question. Was it Ba'inus or Baratzin? The only reason the Gemara was lenient is because we had a Svek Sveka. But here we don't have a Svek Sveka, and therefore we have to be Machmer. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashmalon. What is Rebbe Lezer? We began to share with Rebbe Lezer's statement. Ask the Gemara, what is Rebbe Lezer coming to teach us with this din? Tanina, haven't we learned in the Mishnah? If somebody says to a woman, Kedeshticha, I was Mekadesh you in front of Edom, but the Edom aren't here, they went overseas. And she says, it's absolutely not true. So the Allah is Himataz Bekroivov. She, by denying it, is not an Eishes Ish, and she can even marry the relatives of this man, who also b'krevet seha. But he, who's saying that I did marry you, then the halacha is that I can, then the halacha tells us, if you married her, you may not marry her relatives. Of course, the Rishonim point out that he has to say that there were Edom. Because if he doesn't say there were Edom, the halacha is that if you mekadosh a woman without Edom, the Kedushin is not a Kedushin. And there's a very interesting point that is made here by the Rishonim, by the Ra'ah, the Rajba. They want to say that even though he's saying Shavi Nafsha Chaticha de Sura, and because Shavi Nafsha Chaticha de Sura, he may not marry her relatives, that's only on the relatives that are Osama Daraisa. But the relatives that are only Osama Darabonon, again, relatives that we discussed in Masechta Yevamos, relatives are considered shniyos, he would be allowed to marry those women. So we see that we see from there the concept of shavya nafsha dechtich desura. Answers the Gemara, the two cases are not the same. Ma'atei mahosom, devadik kimla. When somebody does kedusha with a woman, he knows what he did. Aval hocha, but in a case where we had this single man getting married, and now he says that Pesach Pesuach, make him with the Lekimlei, we should be concerned that he doesn't really know what he's saying, because he's really not an expert in this subject. Kamash Milan, that's what Rebbe Lezer is coming to teach us, that even if he's a Bacher, and he says, Pesach Pesuach Metzasi, he has the rule of Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Desura, and we believe what he said. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Or me, I'm a Rebbe Lezer. It did Rabbi Elazar indeed say that by somebody saying Pesach Pesuch Mitzasi, his wife becomes Asur. But Rabbi Elazar, Eina Isha Neseres Al Bala, the only way a woman becomes prohibited to her husband, Ela Iske Kina Vestira. If they did Kinui, when a husband told the wife, you may not be secluded with this man, and then there were Adam Stira that saw secluded. Ukamashi Shahaya, like we know the story, and it's important to review the story as we get into the shir. In the time of the Mechama that David and Yoav, his general, held against the Bnei Amon and Aram, David Melch saw Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah Chita, and he had relations with her, and she became pregnant. After David Melch discovered that she was pregnant, David Melch called Uriah Chita back from the war front, and he should say, and he wanted that he should have relations with his wife, and like that it would not become known who was the true father. People would think that Uriah was the father. Uriah did not want to come back home because it was a time of war. So David HaMelech sent a message to Yoav, his general, that he should send Uriah to the front line of the battle, where he will certainly be killed. And that's exactly what happened. And after Uriah Chiti died in the war, David HaMelech married Bathsheba. So from here we see that the story of, so the Gemara says, just like by the story of Uriah Chiti, that's when the wife becomes Asur, otherwise not. So why is Rabbi Elazar, asked the Gemara, saying that just by somebody saying Pesach Pesuach, she becomes Asur? Ask the Gemara before you go further. Matizbara, Maisa Shaya Bikin Vestirahava, as we just describe the episode of David and Bathsheba, where was the king of Estira? So the Gemara's question is, you just said that the only way of a halacha, of a wife becoming Asur, is where there was king of Estira. Where's the king of Estira in that story? And furthermore, void Miasrua, where do we see that Bathsheba became Asur to David? On the contrary, as we just mentioned, that they became mutter. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, even deeper, the halacha is that kishem she'os lebal, kach os lebayil. That if the woman is osir, she becomes osir both to the husband and to the other person. So if she was osir to David, she would be osir to Uriah. So what's the Gemara saying? That she could have been mutter to Uriah. Says Gemara, halay kasha. Says the Gemara, this question that you're asking me now is not really a strong question. Hakama, Einish Isha Neseres Labala was meant to say was that a woman doesn't become also to her husband, Ela Iski Kinevitstira, when it's similar to was with a situation of Kinevitstira. Just like, and where do we see that? We see that from the Maisa Shahaya. There was the story about Sheva. The lawyer have a Kinevitstira, where even though it was a terrible situation, we see V'lo Yitzra, she didn't become Asur to Uriah because there was no Kinev Estira. So we see that we always need to have Kinev Estira. Says the Gemara, Mekam Akum Kasha. But we come back to a question. We said, Rabbi Elazar began our shir by saying, Pesach Pesuach makes the wife Asur to husband. And here we see Kinev Estira in Pesach Pesuach Loi. Ask the Gemara, Ula Tamech, let's drill a little further. What did Rabbi Elazar say? Kin of Estira in, that the only way a wife becomes also to the husband is there was kin of Estira, which seems to say, be'edim loy. If there were edim to say that there was an adulterous relationship, she would not become asur. Does that make any sense? If kin of Estira makes her asur, edim certainly make asur. Allah, how must we understand? Hachkamer. This was the way to understand. Ein nishin neseres labal beit echad. One aid is insufficient. You need to have El B'Shnei Edom. You have to have two Edom. The king of Estira, but if there was king of Estira, Afil Be'erech Nami. Then the halach is, even where there's only one aid, the halach is that she becomes Eser. And now concludes the Gemara, Pesach Pesuach Shnei Edom Dami. When the husband comes with the claim of Pesach Pesuach, so as we said earlier in this year, by claiming Pesach Pesuach, what the husband is actually proclaiming is Shavya Nafshe Chetichet Disura, and that has the same authority as one aid.
as two Edim, and that's why she's Asur. So the question is, with this Kini Vestiru, what does it mean there was an Eid Echad? So the shot is that let's say this Kini Vestiru. So what does the Halacha tell us that when this Kini Vestiru? The Halacha tells us that they go to the Beis HaMikdash and they drink, she drinks the Mei Saita. The Gemara is saying here that if there's one Eid after the Kini Vestiru, that she doesn't drink and she loses a Ksuba. The Chitema. So if that's the case, Masha Shahaya, the story that happened with Bathsheba, Mimnei Ma'ala Asura, there were many people that saw David HaMelech seclude himself with Bathsheba, and therefore she should become Asur both to Uriah and to David. Answers the Gemara, Hasam Oynes Hava. David HaMelech was maybe amazed, says the Ritva, but Bathsheba was Anusa. And because she was an Anusa, she did not become Asur to her husband. And there's a big chiddush in our Gemara. That means, if the Baal is certainly an innocent individual, and our Gemara, the woman is also innocent, because the Gemara is saying that Bathsheba did not do it willingly. But David was not an oinus. David did it b'mezid. Says the Ritva. We are earlier in our Shia, we quoted Halacha, Shem she'asur lebaal, kach asur lebaal. That the Baal and the Baal travel together. Says the Ritva, in our Gemara, the Baal is not asur to her. The reason the Baal is not asur to her, because as we just finished explaining, it was an oinus. And therefore, even though the Baal, for him, it was a mazid, once she's not asur to her husband, she also does not become asur to the Baal, to David HaMelech. Vibay Seima. Another explanation explains the Gemara why she did not become also, why Bathsheba wasn't also to David. Says the Gemara, Ki Adar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan. He teaches us that Kol HaYotzei on Melchemes Beis David, anyone who went out to war in the time of Melchemes Beis David, get Krisis Kosev Lishtei, would write a get to his wife. The way Rashi says it worked is that they would write a get that if he'll die and doesn't come back from war, she should be considered divorced from that point. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. And Tosfos says that there was no tanai in this get. The get was given. Tosfos says it wasn't done publicly, but it was given in a way that the get should be valid from today. However, the Rishonim point out that even according to Tosfos, that says that the get was given from today, without a Tanai, that's only when she's not an Eishes Kohen. But if this woman is the wife of a Kohen, explain the Paiskim, then of course there has to be a Tanai in the get. Because otherwise, if she's divorced, and Baruch Hashem, the husband comes back from the war, and now she's divorced, and he's a Kohen, and a Kohen may not remarry a Grusha. So in that case, even Tosfos would agree that it was given with a Tanai. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, when Shaul was holding battle with Goliath, so Yishai sent David his son to look and see how his brothers, he had three brothers who were part of that battle. And Yishai tells David, Vesachecha tifkad l'shalom, Vesarubosom tikach. Go see how your brothers are doing, Vesarubosom tikach. What does Vesarubosom tikach mean? Tani Reb Yosef, Dvarim, Hamuravim bein loy lebina. Things that are there between a husband and wife. What do I mean? What does it mean when it says between a husband and a wife? What it means is a get that if Chas v'Shalom something were to happen to them, they would be divorced. And as Rashi explains, very much connected to Masechta Yevamos, that in order that the wife should not have to fall to even mechalitza, which are so complicated, the halacha therefore is that the minig was to give the get, and therefore we could solve that problem. There's a very interesting shaila that I saw. There was a soldier that went out to war, and he wrote a get to his wife. He was part of the Russian army, and he wrote in the get that if I don't come home by a certain day, then the get should be valid. He came home, but he didn't come home to Russia. For whatever reason, he made it back to Poland, to a city in Poland, a city abroad, and he writes a message to his wife, I'm alive, I made it to the city abroad. Come join me here. And of course, the get that I wrote is not a valid get. And that was a very big controversy over that situation. On one hand, he said, I'm coming home. Home was the city that they lived in Russia, not some city in Poland. On the other hand, he said, it's understandable. What he meant was that if I will, Mitzvah Hashem, survive the war, then the get should not be valid. And Baruch Hashem, he survived. So the question is the get valid or not? And the Paiskim debate, what did he mean when he said Beisoy? Does Beisoy mean his physical home? Or does Beisoy mean that it's the place where he has Panosa? It's a place where his family lives. And that isn't in a place where he wasn't there. The Shas HaTshuvos Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Yud Aleph Siman Tzadik discusses a very interesting question. He says there was a soldier in the Israeli army who approached the Tzitz Eliezer. And he said that I'm being sent on a very dangerous mission, and I want to write a get that if I don't come back within a certain time, that means I didn't necessarily make it, and the get should be a valid get. And he did not want his wife even to know about this get, not because he didn't want her to know about the get, but the reason he didn't want her to know about this, because he did not want her to feel that, he did not want her to be concerned that her husband's going to a dangerous mission. So he says at first glance that this get should be, if he doesn't come back, the get should be a valid get, and the wife should not have to fall to Yibam and Chalitza. But then he goes on to discuss that how are we not to be concerned that maybe while he was out at war, something happened and he was mevatel the get. And the halach is that before, as long as the get is, the time of the get doesn't yet come, the halach is you can be mevatel the get. So on one hand, we certainly should not have to be concerned about that. And the reason we certainly should not have to be concerned about that is because this man on his own came and said, I want to get divorced because he's concerned about his wife. So why would we believe that he would do something like that, which is contrary to what he's trying to accomplish? Moreover, the Tzitz Eliezer says that if this man made it very clear at that point that what he's doing here is only because he's, that everything he's doing here is only because, that he won't, he made a shvua that he won't be mevatel to get, he quotes Achroinim who say that if a person makes a shvua that he won't be mevatel to get, then the halach is that we don't have to be concerned that it was mevatel get. And therefore, chas v'sholem paskins at Tzitz Eliezer, if this husband doesn't come home, the get would be a valid get. But the Tzitz Eliezer concludes the tshuva, that the tshuva has a happy ending. That even though he wrote this get, and even though he went out on this dangerous mission, he, Baruch Hashem, came back well, and was able to live with his wife happily ever after. The Mefarshim point out, this concern about a soldier getting hurt in war is not only Mechemes Beis David. Why was the Gemara saying that Kol Yechotzi LeMechemes Beis David? So explain this Achroinim. Until, it's very much connected to what we just said. Until the time of David HaMelech, it was quite common to write this get, but it was kept quiet. And from the time of David HaMelech, it became public that this type of get was written. Why did it become public that this type of get was written? Because we were concerned, because that was to show why what David did with Bathsheba wasn't wrong. And because of that, from the time of David HaMelech, they publicized this. The Kotzker said, why Kol Yoytzel Mechemes Beis David Kais V'get L'Ishtoi? He says a beautiful pshat. He says that when somebody goes out to war, in order for him to be able to be successful as a soldier, he has to completely devote himself to the mission at hand. If he's writing, if he's thinking about his family, he's thinking about his children, then he won't be able to concentrate on the war. Similarly, he says, in any subject that we take on, we have to take it on with the complete concentration that what we're doing now is the avodas Hashem. When we're learning or we're doing a mitzvah, we should be able to completely concentrate on that mission and nothing else. Amar Abaya. So we began this year with Rav Elazar teaching us that if the husband says, Pesa Pesuach Matzasi Nemen L'Asroi, Amar Abaya Afanan Namitanina. Really, the Mishnah that we began the Masechta supports this halacha. Because we began the Masechta, Mesulanesis L'Yom Revi, that the marriage should take place on Wednesday. And we learned L'Yom Revi in, specifically on Wednesday, L'Yom Chalmishi Loi, not on Thursday. And the truth is, as the Parish Yosef says, not only not on Thursday, not on any day of the week. Why does the Gemara focus on Thursday? Because as we learned earlier, Thursday is a particularly good day to get married. Because Thursday, as we explained, is the day that there was Birchas Hadagim. And even though there's a strong reason to get married on Thursday, the Mishnah taught us, don't get married on Thursday. And the reason we don't get married on Thursday is my tama, Mishamakure Daite. We're worried that if the husband finds that the wife is not a psula, he may calm down in that period till Bezdin is in session. So ask the Gemara Lamai, what is our concern? If we're worried that he's going to give her a ksuba, Lamesa la ksuba, that he's going to give her a ksuba which she really isn't deserving of the ksuba, ask the Gemara, Nesav law. It's only money. Elal Osralov, it must be that the question is that is she permitted to live with him or not? With the Kontana Taina, because he comes with a claim. My love, what is the claim? The Kotana Tanis Pesuach, he's saying Pesach Pesuach, and that's why we say, let the wedding be as close as possible to when Bezdin is in session, because if he says that Pesach Pesuach, we will believe him and not allow him to live with his wife. So we see, we believe him. Says the Gemara, loy. It's not, the issue here is not that he claims Pesach Pesuach, but rather he's claiming the Kotan Tanis Domim. That he's claiming that she didn't have dam. And by claiming that she didn't have dam, that clearly is an indication that she wasn't a psula. And that's why, in that taina, we accept what he says. But there's no proof to what would be if he came with a claim of Pesach Pesuach. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Ha'ayim Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, if somebody comes and says, Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, Nemelav Sidik Subasa. Even though he doesn't have Edom to back up his claim, we accept what he says. Because the halacha is that we believe what he says, that because ain adam teruach tairich besuda mafsida. A person would have not have gotten married to a woman to lose for no, and then to say that she wasn't a psula. So if he said it, it must be true. Amar Yosemite Kamashmon, Tanina, isn't that the minig in Eretz Yisrael that, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis, Haichel Eitzel Chomer BeYehuda. If the Chassan is staying at the home of his father-in-law in Yehuda, Loi Shloi BeEdim, and there were no Edim, any Yochel Atin Tainis Pesulim. He can't come with a claim that his wife was in a Pesula after the Nesuin. Because their minig was, because they're alone during the time from after Erisin, and since they're alone during the time of the Erisin, we have to assume that if she's not a psula, she's not a psula because he had relations with her. So we learn, Yehuda, and Yehuda, you can't make that claim because the claim of Pesach Pesuach would say, yes, of course it was Pesach Pesuach. It was Pesach Pesuach because of you. Habagolo, isn't that a proof that in Golo, where the Chas and the Kala don't remain alone, the Halach is Matzitoin? So the question is, Lamai, what is the claim? Ila Asrolov by Yehuda Mailoi. Why can't he say that when he had relations with her in Yehuda, it was Pesach Pesuach? Elalav, it must be that the issue is the Lafsidik Subasa, Utakan Taina. And what's he saying? That when he had relations with her, after the Nesuin, it was Pesach Pesuach. Because dam is not a claim. Because the dam was lost when they were together when she was in Arusa. On my love, the Katan Tanis Pesuach. Says Merloy, he's saying that the Katan Tanis Domim. What that means is that he says that at the time that they had relations, when she was an arusa, we say that there was no dam. So what the Gemara is saying is as follows, that it could well be that from the Mishnayis, there is no proof that if he comes and says Pesach Pesuach, he's going to believe. The only issue is regarding Tainus Damim, that if she says Tainus Damim, that would be a claim that he has, because if there was dam, as we'll discuss in Mitzvah Shem in our coming shir, where is the dam? So his claim is that there was no dam, and that's a claim that is going to be believed. Came Shmuel and Rabbi Lazar to teach us that no, we do believe even a claim of Pesach Pesuach.